Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
It's definitely been a crazy day in the NBA. Got a couple of trades pop up mid-afternoon. The Jazz pulling off a three-team deal. We went over the logistics of that at the beginning of the show during the intro. The New York Knicks acquiring Derrick Rose. Now there's news that the Lakers have pretty much made their decision on who will go number two. And LeBron James talks about leaving Cleveland, saying, yeah, probably not. So a lot happening right now in the NBA. It's going to be busy over the next 24 to 48 hours. Joining us right now is a busy man himself, Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com and the Triple Threat Podcast. We had some drama when we brought on a guest last year on the eve of the NBA draft, some drama that kind of trickled throughout the state. Not messing with that this year. We're bringing in the man with consistency, Jameson Welsh. Thank you, Jameson, as always.
Jordan, thanks for the kind words, man. Definitely appreciate it. It's been a hectic time over the last couple of days with the draft coming up right after the finals, so just trying to gather as many bits and pieces as possible, but definitely appreciate you having me on.
Let's start by talking about the big move. I'll go ahead and say the best move that Phil Jackson has made since taking over basketball operations in New York. Today, the Knicks acquire Derrick Rose. They give up Robin Lopez, Jose Calderon, Jaren Grant, and a second-round pick. They get Derrick Rose for nothing. And I know a lot of people will say, well, Derrick Rose, he can't stay healthy. He's a shell of his former self. I don't care. He's got 1 year left on his contract at $21 million. You can team him up with Carmelo Anthony, which I think will relieve a lot of stress off of Derrick Rose offensively. I can't see this being but a positive for the Knicks. I think Phil Jackson hit this out of the park today.
Oh, that's a huge deal for the Knicks. I mean, even if Derrick Rose is halfway decent, it's an improvement. And also, it builds star power. You know, guys like Carmelo Anthony, they like to play with guys they know of and that they've seen play at high levels before. Now, I don't know how much Derrick Rose has left. I really don't. But it's a step in the right direction. And having a guy like Derrick Rose, having Carmelo Anthony, having Kristaps Porzingis, you're a guy away, a decent guy, like, hypothetically. They're Dwight Howard signing away for being a pretty solid team in the East. Like, you're a pretty solid team. I know a couple of you guys are past their prime, but if Derrick Rose stay healthy, which is a huge question mark, but if he can stay healthy, you kind of have something there. It's not a bad situation. It's a low-risk, high-reward type of move, and whenever you're able to put yourself in that kind of situation, you're in good shape. And also, they got themselves out of Robin Lopez contract. You know, that contract, it was okay when they signed it, but it's a contract you really didn't want to be under. So they did quite well in this situation.
Yeah, it was about this time last year we were talking about the possibility of Chicago moving on from Derrick Rose. And I'll use the crossover sport that I referenced when the trade talks were going. Sam Bradford in St. Louis. There comes a point in time where, regardless if you still have potential, it's not fair for the organization and it's not fair for that particular athlete to stay in that situation. The expectations for Derrick Rose, not only with the Bulls organization, but throughout the entire city of Chicago, have become unrealistic. And that was built off of a healthy Derrick Rose winning an MVP. It was built off of a very good Chicago Bulls team coming just two games away from the NBA Finals. And I think that this could be exactly what Derrick Rose needs to find another niche in the NBA and find his next spot. I think this works out both well for Chicago and Derrick Rose. Even though Chicago doesn't get a whole lot for him, Derrick Rose needs to hit the reset button, and he has a chance to do that now in New York.
Well, the thing is this. With New York, it's a fresh start. And I think after all the stuff, really, this should have happened like 2 or 3 years ago. Derrick Rose should have been out of Chicago a couple years ago. Not because, I mean, his play has, you know, gone down or whatever, but sometimes you need a fresh start. There's so many things that have gone on. The front office and his camp haven't seen eye to eye since he's gotten hurt. There's been a lot of different things going on, his return dates from injuries, you know, when is he going to be able to play, you know, when should he play, all these type of things. It's a very interesting situation that finally came to an end. And also they have a new coach. Remember, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Jimmy Butler are all Tibbs guys. So those guys, they play their best basketball under Tibbs. Now that Tibbs is in Minnesota, they have a new coach. I think he's going to be a good coach. Fred Hoiberg thinks he's going to be a solid coach in the league once he gets a decent roster. he really wasn't attached to Rose like the former coaching staff was. So a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have, he's got to the point where, you know what? Hey, we can afford to let this guy go now because he's on the last year of a deal. We're not going to get any better with him. We can get younger. We can go a little bit different directions. It's not a bad situation overall. It really isn't. I think it's a good thing for both ends. Chicago gets that situation out of their locker room, and the Knicks get a guy who, if healthy, should be pretty good. I don't think he's going to be healthy, but if healthy, he can be okay.
I do believe the next move for New York is to target either Dwight Howard or Pau Gasol. I'm sure they would prefer Dwight Howard, although Pau is a Phil Jackson kind of guy. That's why I bring up that name. But Jameson, I would be surprised if Dwight Howard is not a member of the New York Knicks this offseason. I would be surprised now.
Well, I'll put it this way. Dwight Howard's been looking to get to the New York area for a while now. Back when he was in Orlando, remember the Nets were a huge destination of his. That was what we were being told. Now I can definitely see him being a Knick. He goes to a big market, goes to the East. It wouldn't be a bad situation, but I will say this, man. The New York media is very unforgiving. I see all you guys, and it doesn't work out. It's going to be a rough, rough time for a couple guys that are very sensitive. And we know Derrick Rose is sensitive, and we know how Dwight Howard is. So it's a situation, I hope it happens, because if it does work out, yeah, the Knicks are relevant again. They're back in the playoffs. If it doesn't, it's a bunch of flames, and you probably end up trading Carmelo.
Yeah. Yeah, this right here tells me that Carmelo was definitely part of Phil Jackson's plan. At least Phil is going to ride with that idea until he leaves New York, one of the two. So that was the first big trade that went down today. The other one that actually happened beforehand, but it's kind of lost some of its luster now, the Jazz making a trade. And Jameson, you and I had talked about it. It only made sense for Utah to trade the 12th overall pick. A guy that I thought Utah would actually look at would be Jakob Poeltl, a name that would get people excited here in Utah, but it didn't make sense because you would have a log jam in the front court. Utah ships that pick to Atlanta. In return, they will get George Hill from Indiana, and Jeff Teague will go from Atlanta to Indiana. I think the Jazz do well in this trade. I don't think this is monumental. I don't think this is game-changing, but I think the Jazz are now a playoff team of the Western Conference. Looking at that starting five, Gobert, Favors, you could throw Hayward, Hood, and George Hill. Defensively, that's a pretty good starting five.
Oh, without a doubt, it's a really good starting five. It's a starting five that defensively it might be one of the best in the league because you don't really have a lot of weak points on that front end. You just don't have anyone that says, damn, they're going to be overmatched tonight. It's not going to happen. Offensively, you're going to have some issues, but defensively, you're going to be in every ball game. So that's a really good starting lineup. In the Western Conference, it gets you to the playoffs. It doesn't get you far because you're going to be playing against OKC, Golden State, or San Antonio in the first round. That's going to be all she wrote, but it gets you to the playoffs, and that's the stepping stone the Jazz have been trying to make for quite a while now. Very interesting to see if that were to work out. But my biggest thing is this. My biggest thing when it comes down to that particular situation is what happens when you need to score and also what happens when you have a bunch of young guys where you kind of need to move a couple guys to get a better bench, some more scoring and whatnot. Do you move a Trey Burke? Do you move an Exum? Do you move an Alec Burks? What do you do? Do you move a Derek Favors who's going to be playing the same position as Trey Lyles, who I think is going to be a better player? There's a lot of moves the Jazz have to consider because they have a lot of roster replication on their team. And I don't know if it's going to work out long term. For the short term, they have a pretty good starting lineup right now. But going forward, they have a lot of questions still to ask because they need to make a couple of decisions with their team going forward. And honestly, I think Trey Lyles is the guy that needs to be playing more.
Yeah, I'm with you. Trey Lyles is absolutely fantastic. I think that eventually, if not this season, going into next season, he'll pass Derek Favors as their starting power forward. That's my take on Trey Lyles. Jameson, this trade, though, for Utah does leave a lot of questions. They now have 13 guaranteed contracts on the books going into 2016-2017. That's assuming they exercise the option, the player or the team option on Shelvin Mack, which we expect that they will do. With that being said, they have to make another move. You can't possibly go into next season with Trey Burke and with Dante Exum and with Shelvin Mack and now with George Hill. You have to make another move at some point in time, and I think the Jazz will. I think this is kind of a primer for another move.
It has to be, and also, I'm going to put it this way. They can get a lot for Favors and Burks and Burke. They can get a lot for that to help the roster out, but it depends what they want to do because the Jazz – don't know what kind of process or plan they're on or timetable they're on for their plan. Don't know if it's a 2-year plan, don't know if it's a 6-year plan. I don't know, so I'm not sure the urgency to make big moves. It seems like they've been hesitant on making moves in the past, made a big move today. They need one more move. They have to get a move to get some scoring. You need a guy that can get you. You got Gordon Hayward that can get you 16, 17. Rodney Hood's proven they can get you right around the same. You need another guy that can get you that on a consistent basis. You got three guys that can get you 15-plus a night, you're in good shape. You put yourself in every ballgame, especially when they play defense. So that's what I'm looking for. You know, do they have enough offensive firepower to solidify their spot in the Western Conference? They need one more guy, preferably in the backcourt or in a wing position. Because remember, in the West, there's so many different wing players. You can never have too many good quality wings in the Western Conference.
Let's move on. There's also some news, sources saying that the Lakers do intend to draft Brandon Ingram, number 2. I thought this was a gimme from the very beginning. Jameson, I thought that the 76ers should really take a good hard look at Brandon Ingram for number 1. They're going to go with Ben Simmons. To me, there's no surprise that Ingram will go number 2. But do you think there's a possibility that somebody could jump in last minute and we could have a blockbuster trade for the number 2 pick?
It's always a possibility. It's always. You know, sometimes, you know, these GMs, they're up late at night and with owners and they say, hey, we really like this guy. If we don't like the guy we have now, we want to get this guy. Things happen at the weirdest times, you never know. But at the end of the day, I do believe Brandon Ingram will be in El Segundo early next week having a press conference. Welcome to LA.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see how that could possibly go any other direction. The other news coming out, LeBron James has no plan to leave Cleveland. Of course, he has an opt-out clause in his contract. I'm sure he will exercise that opt-out clause, but will re-up in Cleveland, maybe even long-term. I don't know if that's what LeBron necessarily wants to do, especially with his position with the players' union, and I think he's also set the precedent for a lot of players like Kevin Durant to sign a 1-year deal. But no shock here, LeBron James, sources are saying he plans on staying in Cleveland for a long time.
Well, we'll see what happens. With LeBron, you can never call it. You know, you can never, never, never call it. At the end of the day, I think he stays for at least another year. I think he weighs his options out next summer. You really can't leave after winning a championship. Usually when you win a championship, you want to defend your title, and that's kind of how you want to go about it. But with him, you just never know. I mean, he marches to the beat of his own drum, and he has own different agendas, so you never know. But I don't think he leaves this summer. I think he's going to enjoy the perks of then bringing a title to Cleveland for the first time in 52 years. So I do think he's going to stay there and have some fun in Cleveland. I think they have a good shot of being back in the finals next year with their roster, quite honestly with you. You know, they're just not that – the Eastern Conference isn't that good, and the Cavs are probably going to get better, as crazy as that sounds, even though they're kind of strapped with the salary cap and whatnot. But there are a couple of additions, small additions away on their bench to being really, really good. So they're going to be right back in the same situation next June.
All right, Jameson, I'm going to leave with this. I say the big winner in the Knicks-Bulls trade, hands down, it's New York. You're definitely low risk, high reward with this trade. In the Atlanta, Indiana, Utah deal, I think all three teams win in this particular situation. I think it's a rebuild time now for Atlanta. They now have 2 first-round picks. I think they'll try to shop both of those 2 picks and move up in the draft or maybe acquire somebody else that has some sort of potential. And I think Indiana gets better with Teague, and Utah gets better, of course, with George Hill because there's such a void there at point guard. Give me your take on it. Who are the big winners of the 2 deals that we just talked about for the last 10 minutes?
All right, man. Jordan, you know how this goes. When you get the best player in a trade, you win the trade. That's kind of how it goes. The last time a team got the best player in a trade and it didn't work out was probably the Cavs when they traded Love for Wiggins. Probably the last time the team that got the best player at the time didn't win it. So I'm going to go with the Knicks getting Derrick Rose. He's the best player out of all those guys that they mentioned, and all the guys that are involved in the deal at the moment. When it comes to the 3-team trade, the Pacers getting Jeff Teague, going back home to Indiana. That's a good pickup for them. He's a guy that can run offense. He can score a little bit, defend a little bit. He's a guy that's going to help them. They're going to be better. He's an upgrade from George Hill. It's a solid pickup. So whenever you get the best player in a trade, you usually win the trade.
Yeah, he's a solid upgrade from George Hill, and that, I think, speaks volumes about where the Jazz are at right now with the point guard position. George Hill, I don't know if I want to call him a defensive specialist. I like his defensive game a lot more than his offensive game. So I'm with you. Indiana wins that trade. I think that is a trade, though, that benefits all three teams.
Oh, it definitely does. It definitely benefits everyone. But when it comes to winners, you know, usually when you look at a trade, you analyze and say, hey, who got the best player? Now, sometimes trades aren't about players. Sometimes it's about clearing cap space or just getting rid of a guy and creating a better culture for your team. But in this situation, I do think that the Jazz did get help getting George Hill, a veteran point guard, so a good defender, can knock down an open shot, run a little bit of your offense. But Jeff Teague's a much better player at this point of their careers. You know, Jeff Teague was an all-star the year before. Give me Jeff Teague. Whoever he ended up with, which is Indiana, they got the better end of the deal.
Yeah. Jameson Walsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com, and also the Triple Threat NBA podcast. It's going to be a busy 24 hours from now until tomorrow night when the NBA draft gets rolling. It's going to be extremely busy. Jameson, you're active on social media, a terrific follow as well. I know you'll be keeping everybody up to date. Give the listeners your Twitter handle.
Of course, that be Jameson. Always on this show at least once a week. Fox Sports 1340, ESPN 1460 Nebraska. And soon, I believe it's going to be CBS Sports 1140 in Vegas in a couple weeks.
Jameson, always great. Thank you for taking out the time.
Not a problem. Thanks for always having me.
Large 15-minute segment there with Jameson Walsh because a lot is happening in the NBA. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, I want to step away from basketball and start previewing what's up and coming this Saturday. We got a fight that I'm really interested in, and I think the casual fan will be interested in it as well, as the WBA welterweight title is on the line. Keith Thurman going toe-to-toe with Sean Porter. We'll talk about that when we return.